Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster to come to quarters and for us to spend our half hour together, where, as always, the mission is to make each of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live at the end of the half hour. But always, I have to mitigate that with also sometimes some sad news, and I have a little bit of that today. As always, my greetings go out to all of my people, Captain Joe's people, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, Stockholm on the other, all of the ships and aircraft in between, all of Captain Joe's people in between. The binnacle list is, I've decided that today is a good day to explain once again what the binnacle list is and why it's called that, because we do have some new listeners, one of whom is indeed a physician and not a seagoing position, and so he may not know exactly what that is. And so the binnacle list comes to us from sailing ship days, and the ship's physician, who was in those days called a surgeon, and that's mostly what he did, would make up a list of those people who had come to sick call and who were not available to carry out their regular duties. And these names were inscribed on a slate, and this slate was hung on the binnacle, which is the device that holds the magnetic compass. And it was in sailing ship days all the way aft, because that's where the helm was. And the officer of the watch stood his watches from all the way aft. And so the binnacle list was hung off of the binnacle, and that way the officer of the watch could see who he would not have available to him when he had to carry out various labor-intensive movements. And in those days, all movements were labor-intensive. It remains so today in our Coast Guard cutter Eagle. She, the officer of the watch, stands his watches all the way aft. The helm is all the way aft. And that's so that there is a very short run between the wheel. In Eagle, there are three wheels, and they are connected to the rudder by cables. There is no augmentation, no electricity, nothing but cables between the triple wheel. And in heavy weather, there are six cadets that man those triple wheels. The binnacle list is not only for physical maladies, but for any of the different situations that people can get themselves into, mental, emotional, physical, financial, all kinds of problems and difficulties that cause us to be grieved and to be grieving. And just before I left Captain's Quarters to come to the Gene Boss studio to come with you from the captain's chair, I had a telephone call from my friend and colleague John in Port Huron, Michigan. And John reported to me the crossing of the bar of Senior Chief Gunner's Mate Ken Spohr. And Senior Chief is important to me because he was a shipmate with me when he was a second class gunner's mate in my first command at sea in San Diego with the patrol cutter, of which I was the captain and, in fact, the only officer, and where I had two chiefs who taught me an enormous amount. And Ken was, at that time, a second-class gunner's mate. That particular little ship had a very heavy armament suite for her size and displacement, and it was his job to maintain all of that equipment, including a Bofors 40 millimeter, the air-cooled army version. We had many adventures, and one of the things that I did with Senior Chief, as he was when he retired and then now has crossed the bar, was to qualify him as an underway officer of the deck. And it was a good thing because we had many adventures together with that little ship and with that crew. And one of those adventures was to go from San Diego, which was our home port, all the way down to Scammon's Lagoon down in Baja. Now, Scammon's Lagoon is where the California gray whales go to calf, they go to mate, they go to feed, and every year there is a migration of the California grays. And the migration for that particular year coincided with my need to get my command from San Diego down to Scammon's because an American yacht had gone aground on the beach down there, and although she wasn't in any danger, she was working herself to pieces on the beach, and she couldn't stay there forever. In those days, there was nothing in Scammon's except a beautiful, pristine beach, and when the whales came in, the lagoon was full of California gray whales. So as we got underway, and this was all the way down and all the way back because there was no fueling places between San Diego and Scammon's in those days. And so we had the tanks pressed up, plus we had deck loaded some drums of diesel fuel. And as we got underway and headed south, we got into the middle of the migration of California gray whales, thousands and thousands of them all around us, bumping up against the hull. And I can assure you that when you are in the middle like that, then you also you have them all around you. And so no matter where you go, you are downwind of at least some of them. Thousands of California gray whales all exhaling with characteristic gray whale bad breath was enough to keep us awake and alert for the, I guess it's about 1,000 miles. I haven't stepped it off lately, but I think it's about 1,000 nautical miles from San Diego to Scammon's. So we were in the middle of that all the way, and when we got to the latitude of Scammon's Lagoon, we made a 90-degree turn to port. I did. My command did. And all of the whales, all of us together, made that 90-degree turn to port. And we all swam together into Scammon's Lagoon. So Senior Chief now across his bar, but then second-class gunner's mate, Ken Spohr, a great shipmate, a teacher to his very young captain. Ken was a little bit older than I. In fact, I was 23, and although I was an O2, a lieutenant junior grade, I was still the captain. And he was, for the 2 years that we served together in that ship, a great, great shipmate. And I was sorry to hear that his time to cross the bar had come. May it have been an easy passage, an easy crossing. I saw him several years ago at a Coast Guard reunion down in Reno, and we talked on the telephone a number of times after that. I did not know that he was ill. I did not, and still do not know exactly the circumstances of his crossing. It is customary to say fair winds and following seas, but icebreaker people don't say following seas very much because following seas coming up behind an icebreaker is not always the most salubrious course to take. So, Senior Chief, you fulfilled all of the conditions of being a good shipmate. You kept your oath over the years, and I am proud to have been your captain for many, many years, and you acknowledged that even so the last time that we talked. I've had just a wonderful experience with the Department of Veterans Affairs, And because it is traditional among those of us who have served to not have much good to say about the Department of Veterans Affairs or the VA as it was before it became a separate department, I am taking exception to that because I had a telephone call from a new listener. And Dr. Cantor is the name of the physician who called me. He is a retired physician. I don't know what his specialty is yet, although I'm sure I will learn. And he called me up because I'm on the Agent Orange register and, in fact, have a disability rating from the Department of Veterans Affairs for Agent Orange exposure. And periodically, once a year, I guess it is, the department has somebody call me and, first of all, are you still alive, Captain? Yes, I'm still alive. Tell me how you were going, how you were doing, and we went through all of that. And then we started talking about what each of us had done in our lives. Very, very interesting gentleman, and I look forward to having yet another position as an electronic friend, and maybe even a friend that someday I'll get to meet right between the running lights, because he lives in Bend, which is where my daughter and my son-in-law and my granddaughter, the Jules, lives. So maybe we'll be able to match up somewhere. In any case, I was really impressed with the way that we took care of our business, and I was heartened by the stories that he was telling me and some of the things that I was able to tell him. It was a great exchange, and if he is emblematic of the quality of people that the Department of Veterans Affairs is taking on, he's an independent contractor. He is not a DVA employee, but he fills out some really good time talking to people like me and making sure that the records are straight and that we are still carrying on. So, good doctor, I remain, as always, up in the captain's chair, on station, watching properly and carrying on. And I thank you here publicly with all of Captain Joe's people for your attention to duty. The time had come for me to bring in a female presence into captain's quarters. All of you will remember that not too long after Mary R. died, I had brought into the house a young female cat. And she was with me for a number of months, and then very quickly, and on the exactly 10 months after Mary R's death, and on the midwatch, little Miss Mary Sunshine crossed her particular bar, and it happened very quickly. Two different veterinary practices, three different doctors of veterinary medicine, and probably it was a cancer, and probably it was a cancer that came and kicked in very, very quickly. Anyway, I lost her. And I went for, Sailor and I went together for several months, and then another young lady, cat, became available, needed a place. And so Sailor and I had a DRFM, that's a dining room family meeting. And we decided that we were ready to bring this young lady into captain's quarters, which is what we have done. So we have now a female presence. She is fitting in really well. And she is eventually going to be an indoor-outdoor cat. She keeps telling me that she's ready now to be an outdoor cat, but I'm not convinced that she will know exactly how to find her way home. She's not as bright as Sailor, who is by far the most intelligent cat that I've ever had in a huge library of cats over the years, and especially here on the Magical Isle. So she's not as bright as he is, and I'm not convinced that she would know how to find her way home. So we're doing a little bit of a qualification program to make sure that she knows where she's supposed to go. Anyway, that's the update on the Peaceable Kingdom. And in the meantime, all of the residents of the Peaceable Kingdom are looking forward to her making her first foray, her first mission outside of the house. If you take a look at the archive, you'll see that there is a new photograph of your captain. One day, Truman and I were kidding around, and I said, I need a new photograph because I really don't like the one that's in the archive section. And would you be good enough to take one? And so we were kidding around, and between the two of us, between Truman's nautical skills and aeronautical skills, my lack of aeronautical skills and my nautical skills, we have a lot to kid each other about. And so right at the time that he had launched a particularly cogent arrow in my direction, I was laughing, and he took this photograph, and that's the one that you'll see when you go on to the archive. For those of you who do not remember how to get programs which have been archived, you go on to voiceofvashon.org, and across the top you'll find a tab that says shows. You punch that one out, and that will bring you up to a list of all of the programs. Find From the Captain's Chair and punch that one, and you'll see the new photograph, and you'll see all of the programs which have been archived. And they're not all of them there because we ran out of space. There are a few of the older ones. The one that I did the day after Mary's death is still there, and a couple of the others that, of which I am particularly pleased. But the ones which are the last few are the ones that are the most recent ones. And if you're not able to listen to From the Captain's Chair live stream, voiceofvashon.org, or hear it with our little weak signal on 101.9 on the FM band, then later on, every Tuesday, you should be able to find the archive program for that day. A couple of pieces, one that I am not sure that I have mentioned before, and if I have, then you're going to get it again. It is believed, at least in New Zealand, that the Polynesians were the first people to sight and possibly even land on the Antarctic continent. And this would have been around the year 650, because that's not long after the Polynesians took possession of New Zealand, both the North and the South Islands. It makes sense to me that this is what would have happened, because first of all, they were great sailors. They worked their way all around the Pacific using aids to navigation, which are no longer used as much because of global positioning system, and I'm not going to get started on my objections to global positioning system. But in any case, it makes sense to me that they would have kept on going south. What is down there? What is to the south of the South Island of New Zealand? What's to the south of the South Island of New Zealand is the what is now the Ross Ice Shelf and McMurdo Station, which of course was not there then. And it just makes sense to me that they would have gone south and that they would have seen it and maybe even landed on the continent. So if I mentioned that before, you get it again. I have a business that I have found to be particularly helpful. I'm a great believer in the flying of our national ensign in homes, in places like out at Point Robinson. We fly it 24 hours a day out at Point Robinson with a floodlight that comes on when the main light comes on. That's in honor of all of us who have served, all of the people that are serving today, God bless them, and all of the young people that are coming behind us who will serve this great land that we all continue to serve today. And so when the flag out at Point Robinson gets raggy-taggy out on the fly is the outboard end of the flag, and when it gets raggy-taggy out there, it is the place of the keepers of Point Robinson, which I still head up, although we've not been very active with all of this stuff going on with the virus, that the keepers of Point Robinson replaced that flag. And I was buying them from a supplier that was benefiting from the fact that the flags that they were selling were fraying out pretty quickly out on the fly, and I do not allow the flags that we have out there to become unseemanlike and raggy-taggy, and so we were replacing them pretty frequently. Then a friend who was at that time, maybe, and I believe is still, an employee of the Vashon Park District, said, "Captain Joe, here's a company called American Flags Express, and they in particular sell flags that are supposed to stand up under heavy weather, and they are reinforced out on the fly." And I went to American Flags Express, and I bought one to try it out, and it lasted and lasted and lasted. And finally, after far more time than what would have happened to us before, it was time to replace it. And so I went on back onto the website, and I discovered that you could buy at a special order and a little bit extra cost the flags, which are even more heavily reinforced out on the fly, and also on the hoist side, which is the inboard side of a flag, is called the hoist. And so I bought one of those and found them to be eminently satisfactory. And I also found that the way that this company works is both seamanlike and patriotic, and I recommend them highly. So if you have flags where you have been replacing them frequently, go to American Flags Express and buy and pay the little extra money for it. Buy the flags, which are not only heavy-duty for wind, but also have the extra reinforcing in them, and you will be happy with the way that they continue to fly. I have one at Captain's Quarters, which I've had up for 6 months, and I am just now going to replace it. In marine traffic news this morning, there is a ship out on the federal anchorage called the YM, Yankee Mike Efficiency. Painted across the side, it says Yang Ming, which matches with YM, Yankee Mike. And so I looked her up on marine traffic, and I found that she had gone to Tacoma and then was moved from Tacoma light in ballast, but with some empty containers up on deck, and out to the anchorage, and she's been there now for 4 or 5 days, and she is headed back to Tacoma when she can get alongside. She is under the Liberian flag. She is not a very large ship. She's 4,000. She's rated at 4,250 TEUs. You all will recall that a TEU is a 20-foot container. She has no 20-foot containers on her. All of hers that are deck loaded are 40-foot containers. And she is riding light. Her bow bulb is up and out of the water. She's owned and managed by the Yang Ming Company in Taiwan. She's insured in the UK, and you all will remember the significance of that. And at one time, she was under the U.S. flag, so says Marine Traffic. So all of these things I find of interest, and in particular the fact that she was at one time under the U.S. flag, and I need to do a little bit of research. So if she sticks around for any length of time, I will find out why that happened. But these ships don't stick around like the bulk carriers that usually do. However, in other container news, I learned that there are about 25 million containers all over the world, and there are about 6,000 ships that move them around. All of this came to me from an article by a gal by the name of Anne Coog, and she wrote this for the Bloomberg service, and it was picked up by G Captain, good old G Captain. And she talks about how just one container has gotten blocked up. And this was a container containing fertilizer. Fertilizer from China. Chemical fertilizer from China. That was and is consigned to our Midwest. Now this leads me to wonder, as I wonder about many things in life, this leads me to wonder why we are buying chemical fertilizers from China, and the answer has to be cost. It must be a lot less expensive to make phosphates. This is a phosphate fertilizer. To make a phosphate-based fertilizer in China and ship it to the United States than it is to make it in this country. As the King of Siam said, that's a puzzlement. It remains a puzzlement to me. So the other thing that was in a related article was that one of the reasons why all of us who are coffee drinkers, and I am an avid coffee drinker, that Vietnam is the second biggest coffee producer and followed only by Brazil. And Brazil is running short of coffee to ship because of a frost someplace in Brazil. More puzzlements, more things to puzzle the King of Siam. In the meantime, the USS Kidd, which is a destroyer, and the Coast Guard cutter Monroe, working together under the operational control of 7th Fleet in Yokosuka, did a freedom of navigation transit of the Taiwan Strait. And these freedom of navigation voyages are important because they maintain the freedom of navigation through waterways which are international waters, and we do not allow China or any of the other countries in Asia who might want to try to impede free navigation in international waters. So the Coast Guard cutter Monroe, and that's spelled M-U-N-R-O, she's named for Signalman Second Class Douglas Monroe, Medal of Honor, Guadalcanal, and USS Kidd, named for Admiral Kidd in World War II. The interesting thing about Monroe, take a look at a photograph of her, and you will see that her sides slant in toward the center line. So here is your navigation or your seamanship term for today, and the word is tumble home. When a ship has the sides slanted in toward the center line, that is called tumble home, and we have seen tumble home in a number of ships in the last 10 years. Sailing ship days, tumble home was very common, and it was to provide the full body below the waterline and yet allow for there to be enough working space on deck and enough working space for the weapons, for the guns, but at the same time provide enough of the underwater body for proper displacement and proper role characteristics. A subject beyond the scope of this particular course today, because once again we are running out of time, and so it remains then for me to say, as I do every week, for those of you who are responsible for other people, remember that you have accountability for them. They look to you for your leadership as the head of a family or the head of any other organization. And with that, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, just a week from today, on Voice of Vashon 101.9. And
this portion of VOV programming is brought to you.